to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. Now, isn't this the child born in Bethlehem who is heralded by angels singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill"? Don't we call Jesus the Prince of Peace? Isn't this the same Jesus who said, "Peace be with you," when he entered the upper room after his resurrection? What's up with this division that he's talking about? Now, for context, there was an expectation on the part of the Jewish people that when the Messiah arrived, he would usher in a time of great peace. And Jesus knew otherwise. He knew that he would be rejected by his people. But he also knew that many would believe in him. And he knew that those who accepted and followed him would be persecuted. 11 of the 12 apostles would be killed for the faith. And the division was not limited to Jews versus Christians, but every other religion in the world versus Christians. The pagan Romans were masters at persecuting the church and its members, leading to thousands of martyrs until Christianity was legalized in the Roman Empire in 313 AD. And that division exists today as atheists and Marxists wage war against Christians throughout the world, especially in Africa and China. But I've heard this gospel passage cited by priests to promote division. One particular internet priest has stated, "Our job is to divide." No, that's not what Jesus said. He said, "I will bring division." And the division is between those who accept him and those who reject him, between truth and error. But the truth is not a sword to be wielded against those in error. The truth can only be wielded with the fire of love. We are not called to divide. We are called to unite with Jesus and with each other. Let's reflect on what that means in the lives of Jeremiah in the first reading, St. Paul in the second reading, and Jesus. So in the first reading, we have this very brief episode of Jeremiah getting thrown into the cistern and then getting rescued. It's a bit of a metaphor for his life. Jeremiah spent his life trying to warn his people about the judgment that was coming for their sins. He did this out of love for God and love for his people. And what happened to him? Well, the episode in the cistern is emblematic. He is persecuted. He is persecuted for speaking the truth. And he says in his writings, "I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me." Jeremiah didn't cause division. The truth causes division. Division between those who embrace it and those who reject it. And what finally happened to Jeremiah? He was stoned to death by his own people. Jeremiah didn't pick up a stone. Those who rejected the truth did. Jeremiah's only weapon was love. And what of St. Paul? We know that in his early years of his life, he rejected Jesus and attacked his body, the church. He wielded the sword against Christians, attacking the truth. And upon his conversion, he dropped the sword and picked up the weapon of love. He preached Jesus tirelessly, traveled throughout the Roman Empire to make him known, and wrote extensively of the love that Jesus came to give us. A love that he says is patient and kind, a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And what did Paul face? He faced the same thing that Jeremiah did. As he says in the reading today, we are surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses. Who are these witnesses he's talking about? Well, the Greek word he used is martyron, the martyrs. He's talking about all those who are being killed for the faith. Paul and his fellow Christians were persecuted and killed for preaching the truth about Jesus, even when they preached it in love. And what happened to St. Paul? He was killed in Rome with a sword by his own people. He was a Roman citizen. Paul didn't pick up a sword. Those who rejected the truth did. Paul's weapon was love. And so, of course, we get to Jesus. His very being was a uniter. He united his divine nature to our human nature at the incarnation. He revealed his love by his words and his miracles. He spoke the truth because he is the truth. He showed the way because he is the way. He led his followers to life eternal because he is the life. And he continues doing so today through his body, the church. And from the moment of his birth, he began to be persecuted, first by King Herod. And of course, what happened to Jesus? He was scourged and nailed to a cross by his own people, all of us, the people of God. Jesus didn't pick up a scourge and a hammer. Those who rejected the truth did. Jesus's weapon was love. It bothers me when I hear people quoting today's gospel as a justification for creating division. Jesus knew that he would be a source of division, that some would accept him and some would reject him. But we should not sow division. We are called to preach the truth with love, because truth and love are united in Jesus Christ. And so today we come to unite ourselves with Jesus and with each other in this Holy Communion, to set ourselves on fire with the love of Jesus through the Holy Spirit, to become the people of God, the church, on its pilgrimage of life that ends in our heavenly home.